From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, North Dakota, as well as Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and Farm and Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, it's a Tuesday, and Canada is joining the United States in again considering a GMO labeling bill that would create a national standard. Well, Meeting Place reports the bill is not the first GMO labeling effort considered in Canada, but the sponsor of the bill claims nearly 90% of the nation's citizens support labeling GM foods. All previous attempts at GMO labeling in Canada's parliament have fell short. The sponsor of the bill referenced a Health Canada report on food labeling that indicated Canadians want the government to take concrete measures to ensure that GM foods are labeled. The bill was proposed just weeks before a hotly debated GMO labeling law set to take effect in Vermont, a state that borders Canada. Lawmakers in the U.S. continue negotiations on reaching a compromise on a national GMO labeling standard that would supersede state laws like Vermont's. However, given the legislative calendar, which means we're going to be taking a break after this week, the U.S. Senate, if it doesn't reach an agreement this week by Friday on GMO labeling, the Vermont law will go into effect as scheduled. Well, also, as we take a look at other action that's going on, the ChemChina acquisition of Swiss-based Syngenta faces further regulatory review after ChemChina announced changes to the deal's structure. Dow Jones reports ChemChina has secured a $5 billion investment from an arm of CITIC Ltd., one of China's largest state-owned conglomerates. ChemChina says the investment allows the company to reduce the need for loans in the deal. Because of the changes, ChemChina was forced to refile with the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment, which reviews deals for national security concerns. ChemChina and Syngenta agreed to a $43 billion takeover earlier this year. Now, the acquisition, if approved, would be the biggest by a Chinese company and would supercharge China's efforts to develop its domestic seed industry. The state-owned company still expects the deal to be completed by the end of this year. We'll take a break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk bees, and we're going to do it with NCGA right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, this week is Pollinator Week, June 20th through the 26th. It focuses on the importance of honeybees to agriculture. The Honeybee Health Coalition, which includes the National Corn Growers Association, uses the week to promote the importance of honeybees to our ecosystem. Carson Klosterman, a farmer from Winemere, North Dakota, explains why NCGA is involved in the coalition.
We need to see if the insecticides we're using are hurting the honeybees, if they're causing honeybee health issues. I think there's a handful of issues that could be playing a role here. I don't know if there's one silver bullet. And maybe between the Honeybee Health Coalition is finding better management practices if the insecticides are the issue, or maybe just more education needs to be done on what the issues really are. And NCGA being our national group, helping us get a bigger voice and more people to that table.
He says more research is needed to determine what all those issues regarding honeybee health are.
Should consumers be worried with honeybees and honeybee health issues? Yes. Is it something where they need to get awful loud about it? No. There's still a lot of uncertainties of what the issues are, and there needs to be research and education done. They need to really look at what the alternatives are. We need to look at every aspect, and just because one thing is bad, the option B might be even worse.
And, for example, while seed treatments may be the target of honeybee health issues, the alternatives could be worse.
The neonicotinoid insecticides are really getting beat up, but it's a very safe seed treatment, and the way it's used on the seed when it's planted is a lot better scenario than if you were to take that away and require us to go over the field during the growing season with that same insecticide. When crops are planted, the bees are not very busy in our area versus late in the season when we would have to make this insecticide application. So we would be going away from a pinpointed treatment on the seed in the soil to a broad spectrum broadcast application when the honeybees are more active.
And, of course, he explains what farmers can do to help ensure the health of honeybees.
A lot of the farmers, being corn and soybean growers, really don't have a lot of emphasis on the need for the honeybees. But you know what they could do is, if they got some field corners that, you know, say an irrigator doesn't get, or a little rougher ground, perhaps they could put in an alfalfa, sweet clover, or some kind of a pollinator plot, and contact your local honeybee producer, and you know, he could come out there and set some hives and, you know, just little things like that. I think we get back to knowing your neighbors and knowing who you have and inviting them to set their honeybees there and work with them. If you have that couple acre patch where you're not getting a crop off it, but you could put some kind of a blooming plant for a honeybee to thrive on.
And you could learn more about the Honeybee Health Coalition and Pollinator Week online at ncga.com. Well, as we go from bees, let's go to climate. Weather experts in the Midwest say they're monitoring what could become a flash drought, according to a representative of the National Drought Mitigation Center at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. The weather event often develops when a drop in precip combines with increased temperatures and winds. So far, 2016 is comparable to 2012, when widespread drought parched the Midwest at a time when there was also little concern regarding drought. However, while recognizing the similarities to 2012, the climatologist told DTN right now we're not anticipating another 2012. Soil profiles across the region have adequate moisture, even in some of the driest areas. Also, while some areas are starting to show signs of drought, a soil recharge that occurred in the winter and spring is limiting the impacts. Well, we'll find out if that's the case, or if mixed forecast is the one we're looking for. We'll take a break here. However, when we come back, we'll talk Britain leaving the EU. That's up next. Well, as we get back inside agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, of course, big news nationally. U.S. agriculture and other sectors could take a big financial hit if Britain decides this week to exit the European Union. A yes vote for Brexit in Britain this week or this coming Thursday could threaten more than $1 trillion in trade and investment with the United States. That, according to international financial groups. The U.S. is the single largest investor in Britain, considered a gateway to free trade with the EU's 28 member nations. Now, U.S. agriculture is pressing for lower tariffs and an end to GMO and other non-tariff barriers through the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP. American Farm Bureau's Dave Salmonson expects those talks with Brussels to continue, but maybe without the benefits of a deal that includes Britain.
Once they do accomplish, if they leave disentangling themselves from the EU world of trade laws and regulations, however long that may take, years or whatever that is, it's not going to be immediate, of course, but they would then think they would have to make deals with other countries.
He says Britain would have to create its tariff regime and trade regulations and do its own trade deals with the U.S. and other nations, a process that could take years. However, even in the short term, Salmonson says a British exit from the EU could have negative implications for U.S. agriculture.
We sell almost $2 billion of ag and food to Britain each year, and they send us about $2.7 billion. Hopefully that would continue with Britain and whatever new relationship they have. But as part of the EU, those numbers would, of course, be lower.
Again, that's Dave Salmonson. Also, voters in the United Kingdom, as we mentioned, are going to decide day after tomorrow on whether to remain one of the 28 nations in the European Union. Now, the contentious vote comes as the United States is negotiating the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership with the EU. Dr. Julian Binfield with the University of Missouri says Britain would be in need of trade agreements should it split from the Union.
If the UK left the EU, I think that would open up market opportunities for the US. They're likely to liberalize their trade. The UK is a net food importer, so I think that the US would be able to trade and export more to the UK there, and the UK would be more receptive to GMOs.
However, Binfield warns that without the UK, the European Union may become less receptive to some of the issues that the US wants to address in a proposed deal.
If it left the EU, then the rest of the negotiation regarding TTIP at the EU would change, and you might find that the mix becomes less pro-trade and more hostile to things like GMOs and people who are more interested in retaining things like the geographical indications, which are restrictions on what you can call your food depending on how you produced it and what location you produced it. Those are big issues for Europeans.
Binfield is Director of International Programs at the Food and Ag Policy Research Institute. That's based at the University of Missouri. Campaigns both for and against Britain's continued membership in the EU continued over the weekend following the murder of a lawmaker who supported Britain remaining in the EU. Well, we'll take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about a $5,000 scholarship that's going to a University of Minnesota student. And, of course, she's going to be a veterinarian. And by me saying she's going to be a veterinarian, you know it's a female. Well, actually, check that out right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on this Tuesday morning. Well, the Pork Checkoff has awarded 22 scholarships to college students from throughout the United States. It's part of a strategy to develop future leaders for the pork industry. Now, the top candidate was Taylor Holman of Pipestone, Minnesota, who's going to receive a $5,000 scholarship. Now, Holman's majoring in animal science at the University of Minnesota. She plans to pursue her veterinary medicine degree this fall.
So I hope to be a practicing vet. And work, you know, either in a small practice or work for like a swine vet center where I could do, you know, some mixed size practices. I want to work with pigs for sure. I also really believe in advocacy and talking to consumers, talking to the public, and that being a vet is a really great way to do that.
Now, Holman's part of a fast track program that encourages interest in large animal veterinary work.
So, for instance, I've never taken a history class because vet school doesn't care if I know about world history as long as I can treat a pig.
And, of course, the 22 student recipients hail from 10 states and 15 universities and represent five different majors in swine-related fields. Well, ahead of a European Union meeting of environment ministers this week, leaders in France say the country will vote against the continued use of the herbicide glyphosate. That, according to Reuters, the EU license for glyphosate expires at the end of June, and if not extended, manufacturers will have 6 months to phase out products containing glyphosate. The European Commission, after failing to win support for a proposal to renew the license for up to 15 years, had offered a 12 to 18 month extension pending further scientific study. However, with countries such as France and Germany abstaining from an earlier vote, the compromise lacked enough support to be adopted. The issue was transferred to an appeal committee consisting of representatives of the 28 EU nations. The committee will meet Friday. If no decision is reached by the qualified majority there, then the European Commission could choose to act on its own. There it is. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.